The holidays are fast approaching, and during this season, you might well find yourself asking, what can I bring? Well, Thalassa Skinner is here to help.
I would always start with something fairly mild, just to gauge where their palate is, and take it from there.
Thalassa specializes in creating cheese boards for any occasion. She's written a book full of tips called Cheese Boards to Share. Hi.
Hi.
So before we start talking about cheese boards, I just want to talk for a second about the fact that you're the co-founder of Culture Magazine, which I find to be like this amazing niche publication.
11 years old, still going strong.
Which is just fantastic. And I guess my big question is, why do you think that is? Has our exploration of cheese enlarged along with the sort of American individual producers' investment in creating new cheeses?
The answer is yes. Not just that, but probably more importantly, it's really about kind of being interested in cheese in general. I've been a cheesemonger for longer than I care to admit, and I've watched the sales of cheese, of all cheeses, but in particular local cheeses or cheeses from America, skyrocket. And I also have a background in running farmers markets, so I can kind of put those things together and see the interest in what we think of as paddock to plate or farm to table, that kind of thing. And I think cheese has really captivated people's hearts and minds as well as their mouths. So that's really what's happened. When you look at specialty foods, cheese is by far the dominant category within that. And specialty foods in general have skyrocketed in terms of consumer buying. So the last 15 years have been phenomenal for the cheese industry in general.
And it's such a great thing to post on social media.
That's so true. The gooier, the better.
So before we get into the cheese board discussion, I have to ask you about the upcoming tariffs.
Well, that's a really good question. It gets a bit political, but...
Well, we've heard of middlemen, of distributors starting to stockpile because they're afraid of what will happen to the price that they're going to have to pass on to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're the ones that have to, because the retailer really can't hold on to the stock. And unfortunately, when it comes to cheese, unless it is a very aged cheese, it's not going to work, because you can't stockpile cheese unless it's very dry and can go the distance. So I think that it's going to be a pretty difficult time if you're looking for specific cheeses, especially high moisture cheeses, which don't last. So yes, we're going to be looking at higher prices. But again, it's going to be for European cheeses. So it may be a time to really start looking for domestic. And we certainly have a lot of great domestic cheeses.
Except for Parmesan cheese.
That's true. Parmigiano Reggiano is definitely from Italy. And to that same point, there are lots of fantastic cheeses that we are going to not do without, but really pay for. You know, it's just going to happen. I have specific cheeses in my own must-have categories that I'm just going to have. So we'll see what happens.
So let's talk about cheese boards. What criteria, what initial criteria should we consider when we are building a board?
The first thing to think about is who you're serving to. Is that what you mean? What's the mindset that you're looking for?
Yeah. I mean, these days you walk into even a grocery store and the choice is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I know that oftentimes I will come away with, you know, I initially maybe have gone to buy cheese for 10 people and I'll come home cheese for 100. I mean,
yes, yeah. Well, that's exactly the point of my book, basically, because if you work in cheese, you know that most consumers will come up to a cheese counter and basically their eyes kind of boggle and then they glaze over and then they're like, who knows? So the thing to do is try to hone it down for yourself. If you happen to be lucky enough to have a great cheese person there, you can talk to them, but most of the time, especially in a grocery setting, you don't. So the way I like to think of it is envision who you're serving and how many people you're serving. You know, say, who are these people? And then the reason I went with themes is that, you know, there are things like color. So just make it fun, you know, go for what is really eye-catching and explore. There's another one in here, which I really love, and I encourage people to try this board, which is less is more, because it allows you to get one cheese, a larger piece of cheese, and focus on it. Instead of having five different kinds of cheeses, really take one and drill down. And if you've had it before, then you can do it even better. But if you're able to get it, taste it, and then say, what accompaniment should I put with it? Then that's really where your cheese board is going to be shining.
It's so interesting because that's so opposite of like the food ADD we're encouraged to have these days.
Well, and I think one of the problems is, you know, when we do go overboard on cheeses, because then you can't remember what you've gotten. I do encourage people to take pictures, and that's really an easy way to kind of keep notes on things. Put them in your phone, and you're carrying that with you, unless you're like me who forgets it all the time. But I think people make it harder than it needs to be. And I think the whole point of this book is to give one concept and then just allow yourself to have fun with it. So like all goat, and all goat means, wow, there's a goat cheddar there. Huh, there's a goat blue cheese. Oh, okay, let's try the goat Gouda too and, you know, go with that. So it allows you to focus, and then all of a sudden, as you're focusing, your eyes are kind of widened to what else is in the case.
I love this idea about color. So will you explore that a bit with me? So I'm thinking, okay, I want to make an orange board. You have a picture in the book of a cheese that is half orange. It looks like a mimolette color. It's like that deep, beautiful carrot orange, but half of it is lighter in color.
That's actually only the photography.
Oh my gosh.
Because if you look at it carefully, it's where the light is shining on the cut surface.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
Well, I don't know.
But what cheese was that?
It is mimolette. You're absolutely right. That's actually on the cover. So the light is shining on the part that's facing the light, and then the back edge is just shadowed. So it looks like that. So maybe you could do that on your table. You could have shadows.
Yeah, set up a light.
I am sorry, but no. That's,
that's okay.
It's one color. But it does look like a cantaloupe, which is what we call it, the cantaloupe cheese. I mean, affectionately. And that, you know, that is the brightest orange on there. But also on that plate, I've got Red Rock, which is a cheddar blue combo from Wisconsin. It's a pretty striking cheese as well as unbelievably delicious. So catches the eye.
When you speak about choosing one and drilling down, let's say you have friends coming over. Mm-hmm. They're sophisticated. They like to eat good food. And they don't stint when it comes to buying themselves nice things to eat. If you were going to pick one cheese for a group, like small group, like 4 to 6 people, really good friends, what cheeses would you want to put in this kind of singular position?
I immediately think of a cloth-bound cheddar.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, and I think the reason I do is that it's something that you can just keep nibbling at. And when you have something like one cheese, you want to think about the accompaniments that you have with it. And you, again, you don't have to go crazy. But you can surround it with a whole bunch of different things like roasted nuts or unroasted nuts and some dried fruit, maybe a couple of different kinds, a jam that's one sweet, one spicy, maybe even 2 kinds of honey, things like that. So whatever you're drinking, because usually beverages are accompanying this as well, those same people, and they're actually the perfect ones to do this with, they can mix and match and have not only a great time with that, but have some discoveries. And let's not forget meat, too, cured meats that can go with that as well.
It's so interesting because I was going to ask you about the physical placement on the board, because there's this cheese board style that's very in vogue, at least in LA these days, where the entire board is covered with stuff.
Yes, yeah.
There's no empty space.
Which is just, some of them are so exquisite. All of them are. This is not what I do normally. I am not a fussy person. Not that that means you're fussy, but I'm really not that, I don't spend that much time on boards. So the goal here in my mind is to, if you're that creative, go to town, have fun with it. But what I like to do is let the cheese talk. I don't want it to be lost amidst a whole bunch of other things, which it shouldn't be even in that arrangement, but it can be. And I also personally get a little daunted by ruining such a display. So what I like people to focus on is making it easy for them to cut, or if it's already pre-cut, make sure that you can hold the piece without anything else. Some people don't want to have all the accompaniments with it, like a cracker or bread, you know, making it easy to pick up, but also just to be able to dive in and not ruin a beautiful arrangement. The time that it takes to create one of those is significant. So my goal with my book is to make it simple. And if you start getting more and more creative with this, then great. Do the all-out showstopper that's going to be crazy. But if you don't want to do that, it's okay.
So create a cheese board for me for like a dozen adults who have different levels of cheese knowledge. And I don't have an unlimited budget.
And is this a cheese board that you're having as part of a dinner or before or after or just alone, standalone?
Oh, that's interesting. I always find that really good cheese boards, the meal seems to be an interruption.
You're a woman after my own heart.
So let's say a cheese board that would be a meal, maybe just followed by salad and a dessert. And I want at least one thing that's luxurious and creamy.
Textures are important. Cheese, in general, food, and that includes beverages, have textures. So I am with you. I really like that as well. So if they're not very adventurous, I would go with things that aren't going to shock them. Some people are more sophisticated. It means they often have a wider palate. So you'll want inviting, something to really pull them in and want to try more. I would probably go with three cheeses. Five could be too much for that. And make them fairly decent size. So a whole wheel of potentially a Briat Savarin, which is a triple cream. So it means it's extra luxurious, has higher butter fat, and is basically a bit of creme fraiche and butter combined with a light white mold on the outside. And then something that's more middle of the range, which would be pleasing but wouldn't put anyone off. So something more like a sheep's milk gouda. So I've got a cow's milk, so I'm thinking of the milks. And the sheep's milk gouda could be Euphoria, which would be Cypress Grove. Or there are goudas from Holland as well that are made from sheep's milk. There's also one in Central Coast called Eureka. And then I would take a goat, and I guess I would go back, do a little wow factor with that, and I would put out a goat cheddar. So you'd have something with a little more bite, but it's unexpected for people that don't know cheese very well, and it never occurred to them that a goat milk could be made into a cheddar.
Well, now I know what I'm going to have to do on my way home today. I'm definitely stopping somewhere at a cheese counter.
Good.
Well, thank you so much, Lasse. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's the Lasse Skinner. She's the co-founder of Culture Magazine. We've been discussing the subject of her book, Cheese Boards to Share. After the break, we're turning to a story causing reverberations throughout the wine industry. I'm learning more from Bon Appetit wine editor Marissa Ross when we return.